learned about using. Today we're going to do the law, chapter 15, and this talks about whether one can untie tzitzit from one garment to put it into another garment. To untie the tzitzit from one garment. And also, the laws about what happens when your talus gets ripped. This has 15 sections in it, 15 seifim. But I just wanted to tell you, there's a story, you know, we just mentioned about reading somebody's book without permission. We discussed in the previous halacha about using somebody's talit. And the assumption was, as long as you fold it up, you put it back in the right way, or if you take somebody else's tefillin and you put it back, that should be okay. Most people would agree to do that, unless they specifically say, no, don't do that, as I told you in this story before. But there's just an interesting story. But with regards to a book, it says, no, you can't do that. Because a book, especially the way they used it then, perhaps, I mean, books were a lot more of a rare and expensive commodity because there wasn't so many books. The printings didn't work today. A lot of them were written. But he says that the hands, you might rip the pages. He said that you might read it a lot so that you might rip them. So there's a story I once heard which has a very important lesson to it. Now, you know, most of the sitters that we use, you know, has the prayers in it. There is a sitter which is by the Alter Rebbe, which the way it's set up, it has the writing of the sitter, has it in the middle of the page. But all around the sitter, it has commentary, like it has Hasidic, it has the interpretation according to Kabbalah and the Hasidic interpretation. And like I mentioned, Sepharim books weren't so common, and especially this particular book of the Alter Rebbe's Siddur, known as the Siddur of the Alter Rebbe, with his commentary, was very difficult to come by. It wasn't available. And there was one time two Hasidic rabbis who were traveling from city to city to inspire the people to raise some funds for the yeshiva, whatever it'll be. But in their travels, they came across and they saw that there was a woman who was praying. She looked like a real religious woman who did a lot of praying, and they were amazed and surprised to see that she was actually using the Alter Rebbe's Siddur to daven. She used that as her prayer book. They were unbelievable. So they said to the woman, wow, you use this sitter? Do you understand the commentary of the interpretations of the Alter Rebbe? You are able to study that? She says, no. You know, I don't understand. Matter of fact, I can't read if it doesn't have any vowels. I can't read, that doesn't have any vowels. I only use the sitter that's inside part. I don't use the Hasidic interpretation. Oh, so they said, in that case, we have a need, and we can really use this sitter. Would you be willing to exchange it? We'll give you another sitter, which just has the sitter, and we'll take the sitter. She says, no. She says, I want this sitter. So, they said, but you don't understand. To us, it's valuable. You don't anyways understand the commentary, and to us, it's very valuable. We'll pay you money. We'll pay a lot of money. It's a very difficult sitter to find. We can't find it anywhere. And now we have it there. We'll give you money. We'll give you another sitter. She says, no, I want this sitter. So they said to her, well, what is it about this sitter that you only want to use this sitter? She says, look, I'm an elderly woman and I don't have too many things in life that give me pleasure. One thing that I enjoy doing is to daven. I daven. I spend a lot of my time. I daven slowly and I daven. This is what I do. This is how I enjoy. This is why my pastime. This is how I spend my day in davening. She says, you know, I've gone through many, many sitters throughout my life, which I was davening. He says, I always had a problem with the sitter. He says, because all the time, she says, as I was flipping the pages, eventually the corners of the pages began to rub off, and then it cut into the davening, and I can no more read the words in the sitter. So I had to go, I got used to a certain sitter, then I could no longer use it because I had to get a new sitter because of the turning of the pages, I can no longer use the davening. Finally, she says, I came across this sitter. She says, this sitter is amazing, she says, because the sitter is right in the center of the page, but all around the sitter is full of commentary. She says, if the page gets ripped up, it doesn't eat into the sitter. It eats into the commentary. But the sitter itself, the prayer, that remains intact. So the Hasidim heard, they said that, wow. He said, this is a very important lesson. And this has something very important that we can learn, a message that we can learn in our lives. It teaches us something about what we need to do in order to preserve what we have. So he says, the davening is basic Yiddishkeit, that's Judaism, that's the minimal amount. The Hasidus that surrounds the basic davening, that is sort of the extra, that is the addition, that's more than the little requirement. He says like that, if we take that sitter, that essence, that minimal, and we surround it with so much extras, so that even if we lose something, at least the sitter, the main point, remains intact. But if all that we have is the sitter, and then we lose something, then we actually lose the actual Yiddishkeit. That's why it's so much more, so important, not to just do the minimal, not to just say, okay, I'm going to be a Jew, I'm just going to daven, and that's it. It's important to daven, surround yourself. This is what our rabbis always did. They made a fence around the Torah. They added additional items so as to provide us with protection. So that if we fail, if we made a mistake, so maybe we lose some of our chassidus, we learn some of these extra, but at least the davening always remains intact. And that's the message. And that's the lesson they learned from that sitter of that woman. But anyways, that's connected to the fact that when you use a sitter, it goes away. So let's go to do the halacha. We do quickly. Section 1 says, now, you are permitted to take out tzitzit from one garment to put it into another garment. Muter lahatir tzitzit mibeged zeh. You can untie the tzitzit from one garment, velitnam bebeged acher, and to give it into another garment. Now, what would be the problem? Because you're saying, well, maybe this garment is going to feel bad. It's embarrassing for the talit because you're removing the tzitzit from one garment. So he says, ve'ein bozeh mishum bizui mitzvah. This does not constitute degrading of a mitzvah, because if it's not tied, it's no longer a mitzvah. So when you untie the tzitzit, now it's no longer a mitzvah. Right now, these tzitzit are serving as part of a mitzvah. They are a mitzvah for this garment. But as soon as you untie them, you're taking away the mitzvah. These tzitzit no longer serves for a mitzvah. It's not considered degrading of a mitzvah to take away the mitzvah from it. Why? Mitzvah. Because for this garment that we were untying it, it's no longer serving as a mitzvah. Because since immediately you're taking it into another garment, therefore that would be okay. So there's interesting. It's interesting. It would almost seem over here, from what we're learning over here, that you shouldn't just untie it if you are not intending to put it onto another garment, because the reasoning he gives here, he says, it's not a degrading of the mitzvah. Now, we know mitzvahs have to be handled respectfully. And also, that's why we don't also get rid of a talit katan. You don't just throw it into the garbage. You have to treat it with respect. Just like, you know, books, holy books, you bury them. You put them away in a special way, in a way of respect. So you don't just get rid of them. So the same thing is true with the tzitzit. But in this case, we're saying to you is, since you are going to tie it immediately, it's not considered degrading this mitzvah, because another garment is going to get the mitzvah. But if you're not intending to, apparently that would not be okay. In section 2, he says that we learned earlier that sometimes if one of the strings is cut, like if you have tzitzit and one of the strings gets cut, it's still kosher. We went through a lot of the details of these halachas when it would be kosher. But even let's say only one of them is cut. The minimal amount we needed was Yud Beis Gudlin was 12 these. That was the minimal amount that we needed, the size of the tzitzit. What happens if one of the tzitzit has been cut less than that? Your tzitzit is kosher. But now you want to remove it from here to put it into another garment. They'll say, that is not good. In other words, even though it's kosher once it's on your tzitzit, if one of them has been torn, your tzitzit will still be kosher, but it's still not okay to use that to begin with to put it in another talit. When you are putting your tzitzit in another talit, it must meet the minimum requirement when you're putting it in. That's what we're saying like this. If one of the eight strands, now we're talking about the eight strands, these are four long strands which are folded into two. So if one of these eight strands has been ripped off, and furthermore, even if it has enough to make a bow, which says that there's a little bit left of it, which makes it kosher. But, you know, since there's only one of the eight, we don't even need Kidei Aniva. I don't know, he's just extra saying, even though it has a bow, because if only one string, we know that the other side of the string is still intact, because it's four strings that are folded in half, and that would still be okay. But still we say, it is prohibited to go ahead and put it into another garment. Why? Because before you put strands into a garment, all of these eight strings needs to be minimally aruch yud beis gudlin. They need to have the 12 gudlin. So it means that to begin with, you're not allowed to use a broken tzitzit, even though after the fact. We'll do one more halacha over here. But what happens if you want to take that torn tzitzit and you want to tie up another tzitzit to it? You want to tie to it another strand to make it into 12 gudlin, then you can do that. You can do so in a new garment, even to begin with. You can do so because tying it is considered like a fully connected. You don't have to re-spin it, or you don't have to do it. Tying it is connected together. Ki'ilu emchut echad mamish. As if it's one string. So, you're going to ask me, okay, so why do we have all these problems before about this tzitzit, which are ripped, and you say they're no longer kosher? Why don't they just knot them and make it a longer string? Because he says in section 4, when does tying help them, knotting them, help them, to make him into one string, is if it's tied before you put him into the garment. If you tie the other string before you put into the garment, then it becomes one string. But if after you already placed the strings into the garment, one of the four long strings has been cut, and it wasn't left enough to make a bow, being a tzitzis psula, in a way that the tzitzis becomes disqualified, doesn't help anymore to go and tie another string, because if the tzitzis already puzzled, it doesn't help. You can't make it kosher unless you do a main act by making the tzitzis, the garment, you untie the unkosher tzitzis, the yikshir sachut, and then you tie not up the string, and you go back and you place it in a kosher way into the garment. But if you're not going to do an act in the main tzitzis in the garment, the tying of the string doesn't help at all. Sharom retoira. You must make it, not if it's already done on qualik mashkos b'shem yidal da'ayin shom. So this tying the tzitzit and making the back to one string helps only if it's untied before you put it into the garment. Once you made it into the garment and it became puzzle, you can't fix it that way, because tasev lemin osu, you can't be made puzzle. You have to do it l'chatchil the right. And I think if you want to take this as a metaphor to something in life, you know, you can say that sometimes, you know, when you try to fix something, you know, you have to go back to the beginning, and you can't just make a patch, you know, at the end and try to fix something like temporarily, just add a fixing, because that's not really the right way to do it. You gotta go back and you gotta search yourself and then go ahead and do it the right way, because you're bound to, if it's not done the right way, if you haven't really put it in or put the thing into motion in the right way, just trying to cover up on it isn't going to do it. You have to undo it, do it now. If you need to tie it up, you need to do it, fine. Got to go back and start over. And we can learn about it, you know, in about relationships. You can do it, learn it about, you know, not just to try to get your way. Let's say if you offended somebody, can't just say, okay, well, now I'm going to be nice and that's it. You got to go ahead. You got to say, I'm sorry. You got to go ahead and take it out. You got to talk about it. You got to go ahead and make amends. And then you can start building again. You can't just say, okay, let's just go on from here. Forget everything that happened. And I once heard a metaphor for that, and we'll leave with that. A person was once at his friend's, and he ate something very tasty. And he asked him, what is it that he made? So he ate the popsicles of the chickens. You know what a popsicle is? It was very soft and very tasty. And he asked him how he made it, and you know, he told him exactly how he made it. You know, how much pepper, salt, garlic, and everything else. He made it the same thing. He says, it's terrible. You can't take it in your mouth. He asked him, what happened? He says, did you clean out the garbage before you did it? He said, no, he didn't kill you. He says, if you don't clean out the garbage and you just salt it and pepper it, you're not going to do anything. You're not going to accomplish. You have to go ahead. Sometimes you got to remove that negativity. You got to undo the bad before you can go ahead and start. You can't just go ahead and say, oh, I'll fix it, a quick fix over there. It doesn't work that way. Got to undo it, you got to clean it out, you got to go that, and then you go ahead and you build it again. There's no doubt. You know, so all these things is sometimes important, you know, even in life, that we can learn from the way the tzitzis goes.